A very good morning to everyone. The first case on our call this morning is number 013660 of the United States against Gutierrez Herrera. And Mr. Rowling.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This case presents a relatively simple legal proposition in the context of a strange set of facts, to some extent. The defendant was convicted of possession with intent to deliver, a conspiracy of possession with intent to deliver, 2 kilograms of cocaine. When the deal went awry, after he had delivered 2 kilograms, the individual he delivered them to and was supposed to distribute them could not, came back, and gave him the 2 kilograms of cocaine back. The problem for the defendant was that the government actually supplied the final 2 kilograms after the individual who was could not complete the transaction went to the government for assistance, and the 2 kilograms were delivered. The issue in the case is whether it's 4 kilograms or 2 kilograms for sentencing purposes, and I submit that it's 2 kilograms. And the reason is that this is the same transaction. It's the offense of conviction. The agreement for the conspiracy that was alleged and pled to only had an agreement for 2 kilograms of cocaine. The mere fact that the government in the end supplied 2 additional kilograms of cocaine to end the deal or to complete the deal has no bearing on the sentence and no bearing on what was in fact an offensive conviction for conspiracy for those 2 kilograms. The government's position is essentially breaks itself down to the fact that any time there is a change in possession of the 2 kilograms, those are counted as additional 2 kilograms for every change. If the court would take this situation, because I think that it illustrates the illogic of the government's position. Had in this case the defendant delivered the 2 kilograms, then the individual who was delivered to him, who was supposed to distribute them and then return with the proceeds of that distribution, had simply decided after a few minutes of sitting in his car that he didn't want to do it and brought them back, the same logic that the government attempts to apply would apply. Those would be counted as 4. If there was an ongoing dispute about what that should be done, they were passed back and forth once, twice, 3 times. Now we're up to 6 kilograms of cocaine that were delivered, supposedly, and that must be counted.
It's the same 2 kilograms, isn't it?
Our contention is that it's essentially the same.
No, I mean in your example.
Absolutely. My example
is
the same.
That's the same, too.
Correct.
Well, were there 2 or 4 physical kilograms of cocaine?
Well, Judge, in this case, there were 4 physical from what the defendant, what the allegations were. However, I don't think that changes it because they have to show that, well, number one, the defendant knew there were 2 additional kilograms. But again, the fact that there were 4, I still think, makes no difference in the extent that the agreement only was for the 2.
You know, you didn't respond to the government's argument, U.S. versus Crockett. And would you like to do that now?
Well, Judge, Crockett and cases that are like Crockett, and there have been a few of them coming out recently, I believe are cases that simply say that when the defendant himself or herself actually participates in the conduct, and they specifically relate to possession cases, then that conduct is going to be counted against the defendant for relevant conduct purposes under 1B1A.
Then are you arguing that Mr. Gutierrez did not personally commit the wrongful act here?
Well, Judge, but the question in those cases, and then the distinction here is it's not whether he participated, it's what the agreement was and what the offense of conviction was in this case. Our argument is that you don't have to get to that analysis, and you should not get to that analysis, because the agreement in this case was for only the 2 kilograms. Again, I go back...
You're saying that reasonable foreseeability wouldn't apply? Is that what you're arguing?
In the first instance, we say we don't have to get to relevant conduct, but if we get to relevant conduct and we call it a jointly undertaken criminal activity, which is what we would maintain that it is at that point, then reasonable foreseeability does come into account.
Now tell me if I'm wrong, Crockett hold that a transaction that involved an individual's own conduct in such a case, reasonable foreseeability would not apply?
It did, and it did in this context. It did it in contexts where the defendant is an individual who is, for instance, picking up a load of narcotics. They know the nature of the narcotics, but they don't know perhaps the exact amount. And defendants have argued in cases where they say, well, I don't know the exact amount, therefore I can only be held responsible for what I thought, or maybe even the least amount that was applicable under the guidelines. And courts have rejected that, saying that since you knew that there were drugs involved, and you picked up a certain amount, you're going to be held responsible for that amount because you were in physical possession or you were in constructive possession.
Of course, you ended up with four kilos in the stream of commerce, so to speak, didn't you?
Well, that occurs because the government, decides rather than delivering the money.
The government controls that. Because I assume if they provide cash and not drugs, the result would be different.
Correct. If they would have consummated the deal as intended, then we wouldn't be here with this argument. But they chose to deliver the two.
Is that relevant, though? Does that change the result because the government... Government essentially controlled it, but is that relevant to this?
Well, I think it is insofar as it seems that if you are going to say that these are, if you're going to argue that these are discrete acts, then you have to look at the context of what those discrete acts are. The context of this is that the government creates the discrete act. I would say that precludes them from being able to say, okay, this is a separate transaction, when they themselves choose that situation. Those are all the questions I have nothing for.
Thank you, Mr. Rawls.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Corpus.
May it please the Court, John Koukouras on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, this case involves two transfers of cocaine for 2 kilograms each, for a total of 4 kilograms of cocaine, and the matter really is that simple. At sentencing in this case, the defendant was held accountable for the transfers of cocaine that he personally participated in. And Your Honor is correct. As a result of his conduct, there were 4 distinct kilograms of cocaine moving in the stream of commerce.
What if this had occurred, Mr. Koukouras? What if the government had decided, let's give him 6 kilograms and see what happens? Would he have been held for 8?
If he had agreed to accept 6 kilograms of cocaine, then he should have been held accountable for all 8, unless he could demonstrate some sort of entrapment or sentencing entrapment. But if the defendant says, yes, I will accept 8 kilograms of cocaine, then his sentence should go up.
It is correct, though, if the government had provided cash instead of drugs, the result would be only 2 kilos, right?
That's correct. The defendant was expecting $42,000 in payment from the individual to whom he originally gave the cocaine. That cocaine was robbed at gunpoint. The defendant then agreed to accept 2 kilograms of cocaine in lieu of the $42,000. That's what he chose to do, and presumably would have sent those 2 kilograms of cocaine back on the street where the original 2 ended up. Your Honor is correct that reasonable foreseeability does not come into play in this case because the defendant is not being held accountable for the actions of others. He's being held accountable for his own actions. And under Guideline Section 1B1.3A2, the defendant should be sentenced based on his acts that are part of the same course of conduct or common scheme or plan. And clearly in this case, the second 2 kilograms of cocaine were part of the same course of conduct and common scheme as the first 2 kilograms of the first 2 kilogram deal.
You think, is it relevant that the government, instigated the 2 extra kilograms by furnishing them in lieu of cash to the defendant? Does that change anything that they responsible for that?
No, sir, it does not. And I would disagree that the government instigated it. The defendant was waiting for $42,000. That money wasn't available because the co-conspirator of the defendant was unable to sell the original 2 kilograms of cocaine. So in lieu of that, he delivered 2 kilograms of cocaine, which this defendant accepted. For those reasons, Your Honor, the sentence of that Judge Leinweber imposed should be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Kokoris.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rowling, you have 3 minutes left.
Just one item that I'd like to respond to, and I think it's telling. The government said that had, when the example of the additional 4 kilos, make it a 6 kilogram transaction, said that had he agreed to take the 6 in lieu of payment, he would have been responsible for those. I think that makes it clear. In this case, he did not agree to the additional kilograms. He agreed to have the deal completed, which is cash payment for the 2 and for replacement, if not for the cash. And for those reasons, I would ask for a reversal on the sentencing issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rowling.